And welcome back to another episode of The Book Stop. I'm your host, Jen, and I'm very excited to talk about today's episode. But before we begin, there will be spoilers as we talk about major events that unfold within the story. In addition, each episode will have a list of trigger warnings in the description. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at The Book Stop Podcast and show your support on Patreon for early access to episodes and other additional content.
Welcome back to another episode of The Book Stop, and we are joined with the one and only amazing, gorgeous, perfect Charlotte!
Oh my gosh, what an intro! Never in my life have I been so welcomed. Here for it, thank you so much. Hello, everyone.
We're back, and what did you bring for us to talk about today?
We brought Iron Flame, the second book in the Empyrean series, the follow-up to the viral Fourth Wing.
Heck yeah.
By Rebecca Yarros, in case anyone is unfamiliar.
Rebecca Yarros. And why did you bring this book?
Because we read the first one.
Yeah. We read the first one. That was like a unedited 3 hours?
Yeah, it was over 3 hours.
Yeah. And then edited was about, it was literally 1 minute. Just couldn't make it that 2 hours, apparently. But yeah, we're going to get right into it, but we're going to play a little game to get started.
Oh boy.
You are going to summarize this book in 30 second. Try your best, and you may begin whenever you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Iron Flame, the follow-up to Fourth Wing, was continuing the story from Violet and Zayden and Violet's squad starting a revolution. They basically have to save the entire continent, even though they originally thought they didn't want to. They just wanted to save themselves. And there are Wyvern attacks and Venon attacks. The wards are in question. They have to figure out how they're going to save the whole continent and their future.
Yay! Good job. I'm going to summarize it really quick for anybody who hasn't heard of this book. Again, this is the sequel to Fourth Wing, so if you haven't read that, at least go listen to the podcast that we did last year, just so it makes a little bit more sense, because again, we're not really going to recap a lot of stuff that happened in the first book, because that was the first book. I'm also going to talk about this one. Everyone expects Violet Soaringale to die during her first year as Bethgaia's War College, Violet included. Now the real training begins, and Violet's already wondering how she'll get through. It's not just that it's grueling and brutal. It's the new Vice Commandant who made it his personal mission to teach Violet exactly how powerless she is. Although Violet's body might be weaker than everyone else's, she still has her wits and a will of iron. And leadership is forgetting the most important lesson that Gaius has taught her. Dragon riders make their own rules. But a determination to survive won't be enough this year, because Violet knows a real secret hidden for centuries, and nothing, not even dragon fire, may be enough to save them in the end.
Dun, dun, dun.
Heck yeah, let's get started.
The dramatics again.
Ooh, the dramatics. They're there, they're here, and they're ready to go. So let's get started. So what is your favorite quote or quotes from this book?
I pulled a little passage from page 247. Mm-hmm. Violet goes, and she's talking to Zayden, and she said, "I ran out of battle brief the second Devora clued me in that you'd been wounded. Yes, I left without leave. Then I flew 8 hours with an absolutely irrational Terran who thought you'd been hurt. Then Scale could have been, too. And now you pull some possessively jealous whose jacket is that bullshit just because your cousin knew I was so panicked that I wouldn't stop for my own flight leathers? I flat out glare at his nonsensical ass and drop the jacket on the floor. You can fuck right off. A corner of his mouth turns up. You were worried about me?" I'm just like, oh, I personally, I actually laughed out loud reading that. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of showed how not serious he was, that he was just kind of always concerned about Violet and what she thought of him. Mm-hmm. Which we find going through the book that he's just constantly worried about what Violet thinks of him. Mm-hmm. And she's always concerned about everyone's safety. It was just really funny, and I felt like it was a good lighthearted moment, because this book is kind of heavy. So I just really thought it was funny.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about Zayden's and Violet's relationship probably the majority of the time.
Because
unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, it is the main focus of this book. Because like,
at least the first like 60 chapters.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's what I missed about the first book is that, and jumping into this one, is the little, like, back and forth with them.
They didn't have the same banter, and there also wasn't the same banter between, like, her friends or Erin Tarn, and it just, everything was so serious, which, mm-hmm. for good reason, but also, it felt like the drama and the heaviness was relentless.
Yeah.
And we could have broken it up a little bit with more scenes kind of like that.
First book felt very like thriller because you didn't know what's going to happen around each corner, and this one felt very drama. It felt like a little bit high school, like not in a bad way, but I have two quotes.
Okay.
So my honorable mention is, I'm not a signet, I'm a person. That one is extremely important for Violet because it's almost like she has to relearn herself now that she's given this second chance almost at power. She's given the signet that is so strong, so powerful, that she has to kind of relearn the fact that she isn't just her signet. She is fragile and she can die. She tries so hard to be powerful all the time, but there are moments where she has to be weak because that is just what life is back and forth all the time.
Yeah, she's still human. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of, I think, trying to learn how to balance being a writer and also being a human. Coming from like a scribe mindset, she's just not gonna have the same mindset that all the writers do, that they knew right. that they were going to do this, and that they just are a little more ruthless than she is, which I think is why she ends up being such a good writer eventually.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, yeah. And then my other quote is from the letters that Liam left Salone, and it says, "You're gonna love Violet. She's smart and stubborn. Reminds me a lot of you, actually. You just have to remember when you meet her, she's not her mother." Oh, that hurt Liam. My soul. I miss Liam so much. Liam deserved better.
I know.
Everyone is so quick to judge Violet, especially in the first one. I think it's a lot less in the second book now that everyone knows her. But even the Flyers just really reacted to her. Having this standpoint in there is going to really support the ending. And I'm really excited to see how people are going to react knowing about what General Sorengale did. If they're going to tell people what she did. Obviously, this podcast has spoilers, so we're going to talk about the ending and all the secrets. So if you're not finished with the book, don't listen to this podcast yet. But, you know, with Sorengale's sacrifice, is the view of her going to change? And with that, does Violet's view change? So I'm excited to see how that all plays out.
Violet was surprised, but also, I think once she's able to kind of digest everything that her mother did for the awards, she's going to be able to think like, you know, this is what a general should and would have done. Was a general through and through. Like, even growing up as kids, she always felt like for her mom, work came first before being a loving, warm mother.
Yeah.
Which in the end helped them to get to where they are. So I think it's kind of like she did what she had to, and Violet's gonna, I think, understand that and see her mother was true to like her character.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see what the payoff of that sacrifice is, because it very much left on a cliffhanger.
Literally, it was on a cliff.
Quite literally on a cliff. So what are some things that you liked about this book?
This is going to sound kind of mean, but I liked when Violet, not that she was being tortured, but that whole scenario, because it was interesting, for one.
Yeah.
And also, I think she really kind of turned a corner with herself there, mm-hmm. and was like, okay, I really can get through pretty much anything. And I think it was really satisfying at the end of her torture that she was able to then, spoiler, kill Varish. Like, that was satisfying. I think it was done well, the ending with her mom in the wards and how that went down. I really enjoyed Andarna more towards the end. She was, like, funny throughout, but she wasn't, like, a huge character. But you did have to pay attention to her to get what she was saying later. But I did like her. I think she shows a good balance of Violet, like Andarna and Taryn both. Taryn is the logical, knowledgeable writer side of Violet, and Andarna is a little more like the human side that is a little, she just kind of they understand each other a lot better than I think Taryn would, because he's so black and white on everything. and Indarna isn't, because she tries to push the boundaries here and there. Mm-hmm. So, honestly, I don't remember a lot of the in-betweens of the, like, main things. I guess this is kind of a don't like, but I don't like that I kind of like Dane.
Okay, yeah.
Because I just want to be mad at him forever.
So I have a question about Dane, actually, okay. While we're on the topic of him. And my biggest one is, it's a two-parter. It's a two-part question. One, do you forgive Dane for what he did? And two, do you think there is a chance of a redemption arc for him?
See, this is so crazy, knowing what we said in the first episode. I don't necessarily, I think we got misunderstanding troped. Yeah. And I honestly hate those, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I understand that it was more of a plot twist than, like, a trope or whatever, because he wasn't really the main relationship we're focusing on. I would still be mad at him for purposely reading through Violet's memories and passing along that information. I do understand he didn't know what he was doing, apparently. That was made very clear that he didn't know what was going to happen or be done with the information that he gave his dad. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make it right, because he was still doing it.
Yeah.
And it was still hurting Violet, just even on, as a friend, even if it wasn't related to Resin or anything. It still was just disrespecting her and betraying her in her personal space and her privacy. There's potential for him to, like, come back around, maybe be an okay character, because he knows what he did, and I think he's proven that he's trying to be better and forgive himself and showing that he's really sorry. Because there were a few times throughout this book where he wanted to hug Violet or grab her or whatever because of, like, the crazy situations, not even necessarily to read her, but he just did not want to touch her anymore. And they mentioned that a few times where it was like, Dane reached for Violet but thought better of it. Or there's reason to be upset with him, but I also think there is reason that we could probably eventually see him be forgiven from the reader's standpoint. Because apparently Violet forgives him,
yeah.
Which, whatever, that's her prerogative. It's kind of ironic, considering that's what this entire book was about, was her and Zayden not forgiving each other. So I think there's potential for Dane, which is kind of annoying. But also at the same time, we didn't know that last book either, that he didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like she's trying to make us pity him, where they build him up so high, but we don't see that background stuff. So now that we do, it's almost like she expects the readers to pity him. And I see in the point where maybe Rebecca didn't mean to put so much on Dane, and that he's going to be important later, but now that everyone hates him, she's trying to make him better in the sense that she needs him likable for the readers, because maybe that's why Violet forgives him so fast. But yeah, I think there's definitely going to be, we're going to have a whole section on predictions and what we think is going to happen in the next book, but I think there is going to be a huge test of loyalty somewhere in the next three books that's really gonna propel Dane forward if he actually completes it, which I think he will. I think he is part of the Iron Flame Squad now, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, something like that.
That is a possibility for his redemption arc. It's a big test of loyalty.
Yeah. In order for the readers to fully trust Dane again, we would have to see something like that. Yeah. And it would have to make a difference.
Yeah. I think Rebecca's trying to come for Azuka's redemption arc, but I'm sorry, you'll never beat that. I don't think it's possible. I really like that signing is a common thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I love that Sawyer
was learning. Oh my gosh, that was really cute.
Was learning to sign for Genesia. I love the LGBT representation in this. We talked about this in the last book, and it's strong in this one. It's just a thing. Like, they don't go into heavy detail about it, which is nice. I really liked Teenage Indarna. I am really sad that she wasn't in it a lot.
She did sleep quite a bit.
She did, and I'm envious of that. but I do like Taryn and Indarna's back and forth. And then I really enjoyed the fighting scenes. Rebecca is really good at the fighting scenes. There are a couple parts where I was like, okay, I can't follow along with the motions.
Yeah.
But I think the adrenaline is there. We get a lot of fighting scenes throughout. My specific favorite ones was Taryn and Salos's fight, where Taryn just rips into his throat. I love that fight.
Yeah. I kind of forgot that.
And then I really liked the sibling with the Venom fight. With all three of them, when they have that Venom and they pretty much in that closet, and they open it up.
Oh, yeah, that closet thing.
Yeah. It was giving that thing from Harry Potter. where it's like your scariest thought or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You're scared of more. But I did like the fight with the three of them. I hope we get more scenes with the three of them fighting.
Scene where they were fighting the Venom at Takaris, and how they said that it was like the floor was essentially kind of like a stage, and then they had the granite steps mm-hmm. and everything. For some reason, I'm just envisioning one of those like Super Mario Brothers brawl stages. I can't not think of that.
Yes. It's almost like Wipeout for the Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Like, I have to imagine this myself, and it's gonna be childish. So, yeah. Unfortunately. That is the most likes. just, you know, we'll get into it. So what are some things that you didn't like?
They all go hand in hand. I didn't like mm-hmm. how, essentially, Violet was acting throughout most of this book. I didn't like her fighting with Zayden about some BS. I didn't enjoy her and Kat. I thought that was really kind of a lame plot point. Not that it wasn't necessary, because if they're going to bring the Flyers into this, and she's one of the main ones, and yes, she was engaged to Zayden, like, there's going to be a certain level of...
animosity.
Yeah, animosity between her and Kat. So, I get it. It seems like for part of this book, Violet was just kind of like that dumb girl over a boy type of thing. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I didn't think that was a good fit for her. I didn't like when her and Zayden fighting over the questions. I think it was just dumb. I guess it was kind of interesting that he was trying to be open and whatever. If she had a question, she should have just asked and she did it. And then that would cause fights because he knew she wasn't asking the questions. And I'm just like, this whole questions thing in general was dumb because mm-hmm. he's either honest and open or he's not.
Yeah.
And it's like, how is she supposed to know what she's supposed to ask if he's not telling her anything?
So with the questions things, it was frustrating because it just set up for both of them not trying.
Yeah.
Violet could have asked questions and Zayden could have just given answers without having an ultimatum of a question. Just yeah. say something. Like, he did try. I will give him the benefit of the doubt. He did try with the letters.
Right.
Were those even written by him? I don't even know. Okay.
I'm sure they were written by him, but like, yeah. I think we got like three letters and that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know things got busy, but then talk to her for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. It felt like we were going back and forth on something that didn't matter. Kind of one of those things that she put in there only to create tension and yes. problems between Violet and Zayden, because that adds to the plot. And then it sets them up for this whole, like, being completely honest at the end of the book where he's like, will you love me no matter what happens? And it's like, he asked her that knowing what was going to go down at yeah. the end, which I think that's really unfair. And so Violet then is mad about him this whole time where he's like using information to kind of get her to go along with what he's saying and using his signets to get Violet on his side. And then she gets mad because he's not being completely honest with her. And eventually he is, but it's not up front. Mm-hmm. And now he's actually doing all the things she accused him of doing before. They're sleeping in the same bed, like it's completely fine. Where I yeah. feel like that, at the end, mm-hmm. is where she should be mad at him, and then she's not.
Yeah. Going back to Kat for a second, I absolutely agree. Like, her introduction was so lazy. Like, if you want to get an ex in there, you want to bring out those emotions in Violet, where she is jealous, wasn't important because Violet, in the first book at least, did not seem like the person that would get jealous.
Right.
She was very level-headed. There were moments where she was overwhelmed, of course, but I don't see Violet as that immature, and that's why I used the word high school before, is like, she's not this immature child that is gonna, you know, be like, oh, I'm not perfect, I'm not pretty, I'm not strong enough.
Yeah.
She knows that Zayden doesn't care about that, but yet she has those emotions, and I know that Kat enhances those emotions and feeds off of them, so I know a lot of that plays into her, but it was just so frustrating. I think Kat could have been introduced in such a better way. in not such a, like, sleazy way. Like,
I know. Well, and she did it in a way that purposely put women against each other.
Yes.
And I get that, like, in this particular instance, it's going to be like that. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of takes away from the type of people that Violet and Kat are. We do get the arc where they come to common ground and...
I absolutely agree. I was actually really excited for Kat. I was like, okay, cool. Giving this arc of, like, almost setting something up with Kat. And then she feels so flat. And there's no depth to her besides, like, the annoying ex.
She kind of gives me the same vibes and energy that early Imogen did.
Mm-hmm.
Except Violet thought that Imogen and Zayden were a thing, which we did get some of that jealousy there in the first book. I guess Kat is kind of the actual person that Violet thought Imogen was.
Yeah.
It's very lackluster to the plot. I almost would have rather they just had kind of one of those, I don't know, I guess because I hate misunderstanding tropes, but it would have maybe been a little more interesting to have a moment where it was like, oh, did Zayden cheat or did he not? Or, like, what was the situation?
Yeah.
Than, like, all of this. But I think it's better for the book that it was more just Kat digging up the past versus something actually happening in the present time, because that would have really derailed everything. And then I think that would have probably ruined Violet's trust in general. Zayden also kind of was playing the lovesick puppy role in this book, where he just was so soft for Violet and their love, which is fine, but everything he did, it was like, oh, but Violet, I love you so much. I can't be without you, and why don't you see this, and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. It just, that was out of character for him, it seems like, which maybe that's the point, is he's not acting like himself. And that's why they're both scared, is they weren't acting like themselves because of their relationship. I don't know. It just, the whole thing was unbecoming of them.
In the first book, I really enjoyed their relationship, the suspense of them getting together. And I definitely think that they should have waited to get together until this book. If the relationship was the main focus of the series, then why did they get together in the first book, you know? Like, if this is a 5-book series.
Well, I guess they got together to, like, have the will they, won't they, because she was mad at Zayden, so now they're having that will they, won't they era. I wish, I guess I just wish there was a little more build-up for their relationship in this book, if that's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
Because in the first book, it was exciting, and as a reader, if you were interested in that, you were kind of, like, giddy about it. You were like, oh my gosh, it's, like, happening.
Yeah.
But then it does, and you're like, okay, well, now what? I didn't like how certain plot elements were kind of taken from other things, like songs or movies or whatever, because the Kat and Violet situation kind of was reminded me of the song Deja Vu by Olivia Rodrigo, where it was just, where I felt like Kat was like, oh, do you get deja vu when he's with you, type of thing. Going to the ending, it seemed a little Romeo Juliet with Violet and Zayden and what they did, thinking they were going to save the other person, because they weren't together.
Yeah.
Violet was doing the ward stone and Zayden was fighting Venon. They both were just kind of barely reading each other's emotions or, like, what state they were in on their bond. I don't know who read whose first, because I don't know at what, I think Violet would have had to have read Zayden's first, and which is why she kept trying to imbue the ward stone. And then because she was burning herself out doing that, trying to give it energy, when Zayden felt her essentially burning out and was thinking she was gonna die, but which is when he did what he did, it just felt very Romeo Juliet. And not that it's bad to take inspiration from pulp culture or other things or whatever, because I know Rebecca Yarros is a big Swiftie, and so there were a few lines in there that kind of read like a Taylor Swift lyric. I just think sometimes it can be distracting when it's so glaringly obvious, but I don't know, maybe that's just a me thing, because I don't know if anyone else feels that way out there. If you do, let me know. But
I guess I can say from the other standpoint, I didn't notice that. My standpoint is that anything anyone ever makes is original.
Right, for sure.
Everything has an inspiration from something else. No matter how hard you try to be, even if you've never seen it, someone has. So it's really, really, really hard to make anything original. I'm not trying to support Rebecca in any way. I don't really know what her standpoint of what her drama is right now. This is just a pure, like, writer's perspective. Is, yeah, anything you make, it's almost impossible to make anything original now. Whatever you say, somebody's going to be like, oh, I saw that in a TV show, or oh, yeah, I saw that in a book one time. Media and art has been around for so long, and you're so in tune to it. You see it every day, whether you see it subconsciously or not. Your mind is going to filter it into whatever you're creating because it gives you inspiration. And I don't think that necessarily that's a bad thing. No. Should you be straight up copywriting someone and being like,
no,
you just switch the names out?
Yeah.
Instead of being Romeo and Juliet, it's Violet and Zayden? Of course not. No, don't do that. Put your own twist onto it. But
she for sure did.
Yeah, and she did. It's really, really hard to do anything original these days. But yeah, definitely don't just take someone's work and just put your name, like, erase out their name.
Oh my
and put
gosh,
yours
could
the
you
top.
Imagine?
I will say, when I read this book, when I got this book in November, it took me months to finish it.
Same.
And I ate Fourth Wing, okay?
Yeah.
I finished that in less than 2 days. This one, it was just... I'm going to say the B word. It was so boring. I'm sorry. Obviously, this is a bridge book. Usually, your second and fourth book are going to be bridge books. They're just, you know, getting you to the next point. Third book, I think, is going to be amazing. I think it's going to give Fourth Wing energy. Fourth book, I think, is also going to be slow. And then I think the fifth book is just going to be breathtaking.
I sure hope so.
But I also think that she rushed this book because she had a deadline to meet. I think in that time, she lost Violet a lot. And my biggest thing is Violet, which we're going to have a whole talking point on. So we'll get to that in a second. But this book just felt very lazy. It was like everything just worked out. I didn't feel that same tenseness that I felt in the first book, which I should in this one because I'm actually attached to these characters now. I should be worrying about them every step of the way, but I didn't. I didn't worry about anybody. At the end of the book, I didn't think anyone was going to die. Sawyer's leg, of course, I was like, you know, but I wasn't surprised. I was like, oh, they'll figure that out.
Yeah, well, I would agree. This book was rushed, and I don't know if it was for a deadline because Fourth Wing came out in May. This came out in November. I think I would rather if this book came out this year and given her the time to edit it. I personally thought this book was too long. There was so much in between that we just did not need. Like, when I think about little things like the serum they drank, it numbed them from their powers. That felt like so long ago. And I agree, this book took me months to read. I will admit, I finished this book this morning because I only had a couple chapters left, but I just did not feel the urge to read it most of the time because there was just so much that we didn't need. In general, everything about this book is rushed. Edges, the pages, problems they had with the publication of this book. Some people's were delayed. Different publishing houses that did the books had different issues. I have three of these books. They're all from somewhere different and they all have different problems with them. And I don't know, I just felt like everything about this book was rushed and they were just trying to meet the demand of the fans and kind of get the fan support while they still had it until like people weren't getting bored or whatever. But I wish if that was the case, they had the two books ready beforehand and then they can be like, oh, surprise, we're coming out with a second book. I wished Iron Flame waited till this year, even if it was early this year, because it could benefit from some editing and some more eyes on it, and then also give the publications a chance to put out a good book. Because I think we're in a couple of the same book groups on Facebook, and the amount of problems I saw people having with their orders and their books and everything was just crazy. That shouldn't be the case. Put out a good product, and the fans will still support you, even if it's a year later. I mean, because look at the people who are watching Stranger Things, and they wait years for new seasons, and they eat it up when it comes out, and it's like a huge thing, and then it goes quiet, but then they're like, oh, the next season's filming, and then people are excited again. Rebecca would have had that for this book if we were allowed to wait just a little bit longer.
Yeah. This book was actually supposed to come out summer of this year. They were going to push it back into the summer of this year so that way they could get the sprayed edges like they did with Fourth Wing with the dragons.
Preferred that.
Absolutely. And I think giving that extra 6-8 months would have been extremely helpful, but she rushed it And she literally said, I wanted to get out in November so you guys could have it because it was officially done. But she didn't want to wait for the sprayed edges, even though I think personally she should have.
I think she would have benefited from waiting. Do we know when we're expecting the third book?
She hasn't disclosed. She just started writing it. So okay. It probably won't be for another year or a year or two.
And I think that is good. I think, one, she needs a break. Two, we need to flesh out some of these characters a little bit more. Being an author is kind of like a one-person show. Mm-hmm. So I think if she's able to give it the time that it needs, she can create a really good book. It would also give the publications time to put out a good product. Obviously, as the fans and the writer and the Red Tower, they all care so much because for them, this is their livelihood. But those people packing the books or like spraying the edges or whatever, they don't care. Mm-hmm. So like when they're putting stuff out, it comes out looking like a mess. And I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, especially because these books are so expensive.
Yeah.
It is what it is. We could go on forever.
I know.
Let's hop back into the book. I have a few more dislikes.
Okay.
This is just a personal thing that I talk about every single podcast that doesn't have one of these, but I think this book needs a POV change with Zayden and Violet. We do get it at the very end, but I think it would have just squared away so much. Like, if we wanted to keep this length, because I love a good chunky book, if we wanted to keep this length, we could have gotten rid of so much of that Violet stuff you were talking about and put Zayden in there.
I would love some Zayden content.
Right. I don't understand why we keep just getting the one chapter later in the books. So I just really, really want a Zayden point of view. I'm hoping in the third one, I'm not going to get my hopes up, that we get a Zayden point of view. I think it's so important to have a Zayden point of view so we can see his side of the story. And then we know once for all if he's lying, if he's telling the truth. And then we can see that like third person watching Violet and him fight. I think it would make more sense with the argument of do you trust me, I don't trust you, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If we could see Zayden's point of view.
His point of view would have been interesting for their fighting. Hearing what he's thinking, and then when him and Violet are arguing, we're like, oh, but Violet, like, if only you knew, because he's not telling you this thing. And so I get it. I do think part of the book, with it being only from Violet's point of view for the most part, is like we also have to then trust these characters because we're supposed to be reading it as Violet.
Right.
And so it's like we have to decide, do we trust Zayden or do we trust Dane and that sort of thing. So I can see why we don't have a full point of view for him. Yeah. But I think there are just a few more sprinkled in would be nice. Because I really enjoyed reading in the holiday edition of Fourth Wing, mm-hmm. those two chapters from Zayden.
Yeah. I'm such a sucker for POVs. So I will always take a point of view change at any chance I can. I'm still angry that Hunger Games doesn't have a PETA point of view.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine?
It is what it is. These are just, like, nitpicky things, I guess. I mean, well, one of them is the fact about Violet not trusting Zayden and saying it all the time. She said it within the first half of the book 35 times. I counted them. She said, in some variation, I can't trust you or I don't trust you 35 times in the first half of the book. I get it. I get it, Violet. You don't trust him? I can see that. It's plain as day. But you don't have to keep telling me over and over and over again. I understand. I get it.
Yeah. Because I feel like half the time they were talking, she's like, how can I trust you if you keep doing this or whatever?
Mm-hmm. And then my other thing is a little bit about Dane. Whenever she talks about him, she's always like, oh, he's my childhood friend. And we only did one activity in our entire childhood, and that was climbing trees.
Oh my gosh, the trees!
Dude, that is quite literally the only memory she has of him is climbing trees. At one point, I'm like, why? Why is that her only memory? But then I'm like, no, she's just dumb. No, she can't. But, like, that's it. She's always like, oh, man, climbing the trees with Dane was my childhood. Give me something else. Because at this point, I can't tell if Dane is a man or a monkey. Because I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, that just really, really bothered me.
I mean, yeah, they grew up together, and she used to have a crush on him and everything. But every time they're... like, she goes to a new place, she's like, oh, this reminds me of the trees we used to climb as children, and the friendship that we used to have, and how it's so different now, and mm-hmm. she just always has the same thought process. They could benefit from a new memory together.
Yeah. So, Violet, I think she is a very big issue with this book.
Is she the anti-hero? Is she the problem?
Yeah, she's the problem. I don't even know where to start. Violet just really bothered me in this book. And it's so upsetting because I loved Violet in the first book. But it felt like Rebecca forgot who Violet was and then was trying to remember her through, like, fogged glasses. This is a harsh word, but she was acting like such a hypocrite when she was, like, talking about Zayden lying to her, and then she turns around and lies to her own friends for the same reason. Or is that I don't trust you, it's that I want to protect you.
Her lying to her friends, that was this book?
So Rhee kept asking her, like, what's going on? And she's like, I can't tell you. Zayden's like, you need to stay away from your friends.
Distance oh my gosh, that was this book?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this book was long.
Yeah.
What was she not telling them about? The Resin?
Yeah.
Still?
The Venin and Wyvern, yeah.
That was, okay, they still didn't know about that until later in this book? That's crazy.
So about, like, halfway.
I guess that makes sense. But just the whole beginning of this book feels like mm-hmm. it was part of the last book.
Yeah. But yeah, she was just being, like, so yeah. hypocritical. She didn't have any control over her emotions. The way she was talking to people really bothered me. Because she's still a cadet. She might be Zayden's girlfriend. She might be the general's daughter. But she's still a cadet. The way that she was talking to Dane, like, I don't like Dane either. And I get that she's mad at him, but it's still her commanding officer or whatever he is, the squad leader. He's still a position of power. You can't talk to him like that. And, like, in front of everybody. The way that she talked to her mother, just anybody of power. It just really bothered me.
I don't know if this is really the case, but to me, it just seems she knew that they valued her signet so highly. And she also knew she kind of had an upper hand having been to Resin and has more of a first person understanding of how to fight the Wyvern and Venin, but I think she was kind of abusing that knowledge to have an upper hand against everybody else, because she did it throughout the whole book to her mom, and she kind of finally stood up for herself, which it was like, yay, good, but also, yeah, I know what you're saying, that she just
tired of being the underdog.
Yeah. Yeah. She was trying to make a stand for herself to literally everyone. I guess at a certain point, though, it's kind of like one of those things where you realize that maybe rank doesn't exactly matter when you're talking about life or death. They didn't have the time to really debate things. So she was just trying to get her point out there, like, hello, you guys are stupid. Here's what you should really be doing. And then either do it or don't. And then they do. Usually because Zayden backed her up.
I can see that, but at the same time, she, like, left battle briefing, and no one, there was no, like, I mean, there was a consequence, but if Farish wasn't there, would anybody even said anything to her?
When she left battle brief, honestly, that was just so cringy, I almost couldn't even read that whole chapter.
Like, I dropped my pen on the table, like.
And she just left because she thought Zayden might have been hurt, and Taryn did not help her. When he thought Scale could have been hurt. So that whole thing was cringy.
It just felt like there was no consequences to whatever Violet did. She felt like Regina George. Like, she could do whatever she wanted. And there was no repercussions for it. And that was just very frustrating, because this is supposed to be a war college. It's supposed to be very uniformed. No one steps a toe out of line. But you don't feel that at all. Mm-hmm. Especially with Violet. That was just frustrating coming from that standpoint of, like, trying to understand what this place is supposed to be, like, cutthroat, but it didn't feel that way.
She just did whatever she wanted. Mm-hmm. And they let her, and then the one person who held her accountable was, like, the villain.
Yeah. You know what? I support her. Just kidding.
Oh, boy.
So, another thing I want to talk about with Violet is her second signet. What do you think her signet is going to be?
I don't know. Because Andarna is so, no one knows anything really about her in the present day, because she is now the first of her den that they've had in centuries, because she talked about how she was waiting to hatch. I think it's going to be something different and unique, because that was Andarna's whole reasoning for picking Violet, was that she heard the general's weakest child and she had all these problems and she was different, and that she had the mind of a scribe, but the heart of a writer. I think it would be cool if she could mend herself. I don't know that that's really a thing, but it would be really helpful for her. Instead of being like, hey, is Brennan around? Anyone is here? So I think something like that would be cool. Because I know before we had thought maybe it would have something to do with time.
Yeah.
And they kind of mentioned something about how she felt like at Resin when Andarna stopped time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it didn't actually stop, I don't think. But
they just slowed down.
I think, and I don't know if that was just like a in her head thing or
like did she speak did it actually? Up? Yeah. I don't know.
Do you have any ideas?
I think that she's gonna have the power of being able to talk to the dead. Because of Liam is a huge like thing. But it mostly focuses into her saying, because she said to Zayden, I'm a person that needs information to do anything. And I think her talking to the dead is going to be vital. Her being able to talk to her mom, talk to Varish if she needed to, talk
to Liam. That'd be crazy.
I don't know. I'm getting the sense. It could be something to do with that. That's my go-to right now, is I think that she's going to be able to somehow communicate with the departed in some way.
Okay.
We shall see.
We shall see. Yes. Talking about Signance. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting. Her mom was able to use Sloane for a siphon, because obviously Sloane is a siphon, but I thought it was interesting that it was almost as if she knew somebody, one of them was going to be a siphon or something, the way she was asking, like, what's your signet, mm-hmm. type of thing, and they were listing them all off. Obviously, she probably was looking for someone who was a siphon, but I thought it was interesting that Eric, or Cam, whichever you want to go with, the king's son, mm-hmm. he hasn't gotten his yet.
Yeah.
So do we think he is going to? And if so, what do we think it'll be? Or is he going to be the first in many, many years that doesn't get one?
True. I actually have Eric as one of my predictions.
Okay.
Maybe like a distant wielder. Because they were saying that they haven't had one in a long time. It's been like centuries or something. So I'm thinking maybe he could be something like that. It's either going to be something really, really cool. Because here's my thing with Eric. We're going on a complete tangent. It's like, what was his purpose of being there?
Right.
Just to open the door in the library? Because that's what it felt like to me. So he's got to have something that's so important that they need him for the rest of the series, or it's something so far off and doesn't matter.
Which being would be able to so tell the unfortunate. Time. Being able to tell the time is all he said.
He's like, he looks up, it's noon.
Oh my gosh. Well, so now they don't have anyone that controls the weather anymore.
True. So it could be like a weather thing. You can make it snow only at 2 o'clock though on a Tuesday.
What good is he? Could you imagine? Okay. A limited weather wielder?
No. I could definitely see a weather wielder since we lost one.
Because it's very important for Violet that she has the proper resources to wield her lightning. So, since he doesn't have one, that could be interesting.
The signets always come when you need it and what you need it for.
Yeah.
And, like, right now...
I feel like wielding the weather is not the top priority.
Yeah.
I feel like we need a few more menders, honestly.
Yeah, honestly. He could be a mender.
Maybe. I kind of got that vibe, though, that he could be a mender. Does that mean then Brendan will really die?
I mean, one of the siblings have to die, if not both.
I know.
Who would you say in this book is your favorite character?
I do like Andarna. I think she was kind of underestimated. She, again, saved the day, basically. Let's notate that, everyone, because that's interesting that she did it twice. Yeah, I think Andarna would have to be my favorite character. I can't think of anyone else that I really liked that much or that was that prominent in the story. Because Violet was annoying. Zayden was just not himself. Mira doesn't have many characteristics aside from being like the tough older sister, which is great. Enjoy her as a character and she's a good sister. Mm-hmm. It's just that's kind of her only character. Yeah, that's kind of all she offers right now. Is she just kind of felt like she had to take on a motherly role, especially mm-hmm. since their dad died and their mom wasn't very warm for them or whatever, and Violet kind of needed that. Pretty much everyone else is a side character. I think Rhiannon is a great character, but again, she's just kind of like the trusty best friend that can swoop in if she's needed. Taryn was fine this book, but he didn't have the same humor he did in the first, which I think was missing. I guess we're seeing a different side of him because we're seeing a very unprecedented time for them. Mm-hmm. But I think Andarna just offered more intrigue. She just had more of a arc overall, I would say.
Absolutely. No, I definitely agree. I think a lot of the characters unfortunately do fall a little flat. And I think that definitely has to play in the fact of Zayden and Violet's relationship was the focus of this story. So I think the characters fall backwards a little bit. I said it was between Imogen and Riddick. I love Riddick. I mean, I'm always here for the comic relief. He's always the guy sure. that'll swoop in. Everyone's just serious, and he's just there, like, dancing. He's like, yeah. Hey, what's up, guys? He's the Karlach, okay, of this group. But, yeah, he's the only one of the ones I still like and cared about. At the end of the story, I was like, okay, where's Riddick? Where is he at? I just need to make sure he's good. When they were on the cliff going up into the mountain, and didn't he, like, fall off the side for a second? I was like, Riddick dies, I will shut this book.
Yeah. They're going to try and make it to graduation. I'm like, is there really going to be a graduation at this point? Exactly. Like, I think we're graduated.
Yeah.
I think we're good. I think we got it.
You got your diploma. And then I just liked Imogen. I think that she had a lot more character in this one. She slayed. There was a few times where I was like, yes, slay queen. Just with the stuff that she said. I think she definitely stood up in this one and took the role of Liam. She was very obviously following Violet around, protecting her, so.
Imogen's doing all of the things a best friend would do, except for be an actual friend to Violet.
Yeah.
And then later they end up talking about that, and she's like, I don't need any more friends. You're fine, I guess. Okay. She just was like, I just don't want you to die, because I don't want Zayden to die.
Right. Alright, so we're going to take a second here to shout out the Patreon subscribers.
Hello, Patreon subscribers. We'd like to give a special shout out to Nick W., Bree P., Ashley A., Tim O., Janeth P., Patrick C., Emily P., Jack J., Mike T., Tracy H., Hunter H., Stephanie A., and Lulu. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you guys so, so much for supporting the podcast. It means the world to me. Just awesome to know that, you know, a couple people are listening to it. It's pretty cool. If you guys want to be part of the Patreon, shout out. Head over to Patreon and get subscribed. Let's go. Let go. No, I was really on to something, I thought.
Not to brag or anything.
When Varish came on to the scene with Salos, he kept talking about how Salos was, like, unhinged and uncontrollable. Mm-hmm. And Varish was giving this far-off look. He was very weird. No one liked him. I really, really thought that Salos wasn't Varish's dragon, and that it was someone else's dragon, and that Varish was using him to, like, be sneaky, and Salos was, like, seeing the school and was relating it to someone else. Mm-hmm. But they both died, so it doesn't even matter. They both died, so that theory went out the window.
Well, I mean, doesn't mean they weren't, like, giving the information off. Like,
true.
Because why did the Venan have such specific connections to certain people?
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was very suspicious.
So, I also wondered, there's zero basis for this because, as we know, with Zayden, but I kind of always was getting the impression that the Venan were not, like, back from the dead or whatever, but, like,
zombie-ish.
Yeah, just, like, people that they thought may have died, kind of like Jack, because we find out Jack is a Venan, was thinking that other Venan were going to be people they thought had died, or maybe they were unbonded or whatever, and so they wanted power.
Yeah.
And they weren't getting dragons, so then they turned Venan or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because for Jack to have gone Venan, did he do that before or after they allegedly killed him in Resin? Because was it like, oh, they came and saved him, and they were like, oh, we won't let you die if you do this for us or something, and then found out, and that's why he was trying to fix him. I just, like, didn't know where that came from. Mm-hmm. For him.
Yeah, so Jack is another thing I want to talk about, was, like, we actually predicted it in the last podcast. We talked about, you know, Jack was going to come back, and he was going to come back then.
Jack is back.
And it was very much the, you know, mid-book plot twist, was Jack is back. And he's not who he says he is. He's very kind. And he's like, well, you know, I got a second chance, so I want to do things right this time. Which, you know, I thought Jack and Violet was going to be the true enemies to lovers, but it didn't happen.
Could you imagine? Oh my gosh.
Dude, when he picked her up from the parapet, I was like, enemies to lovers? Right here.
Yeah.
But no, I honestly, like, the Venom thing is so confusing to me. Zayden is a Venom at the end of this book.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, huh? I don't understand how it happened. I know that they give their soul to be able to have power, but, like, he already has power. It doesn't make sense. He's also inside the wards, so shouldn't he be dead or, like, not? I don't.
Well, so the wards killed the Wyvern, but it essentially dulls the Venan power that they can't drain, but they also then give them that power dulling serum, so then they are allegedly supposed to be more like normal people, which is why Jack was able to get by for so long, is that he was under the serum. And so, because Violet was like, that's why they invented it, was for him, not for us. I don't know. See, this I think goes along a lot with how Zayden was not being himself in this book, because I'm sorry, Zayden of all people is gonna turn Venen because he thinks Violet might die. Like, it just doesn't seem like a decision that would benefit the greater good is like Zayden turning Venen, you know? Right. Yeah. Like, he's supposed to be ruling this revolution, and then now he's single-handedly just like destroying all the work they've done because now he has a bigger problem to worry about.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions.
You know, me too.
But you know, this all could have maybe been avoided had him and Violet just talked a little bit more, because they were both apparently having dreams from Venen Sage, who we find out later, I guess, is actually a general, which I don't know if that's higher or lower than a sage or if they're the same thing. I don't know. But then I'm like, well, like they just...
teacher.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, then I'm just like, well, were they making up words? And now they're like, actually, guys, we're not sages. I don't know where you came up with that.
Going back to where you're talking about them being able to just talk to each other, I have a question. Do you think Zayden was in the right or in the wrong for locking Violet out? Do you think that it was right for him to protect her in that way, or should he have let her in?
I think he was right, obviously, for keeping his second signet a secret. That makes sense to me. Violet's issue is that she's not able to differentiate, essentially, work from personal life sort of thing. Because being writers, they, and especially their different levels, she's still a cadet. He's not. There's just certain things that she's not privy to, and regardless of how much someone wants to tell her whatever is going on, there it just may be a case where they are not allowed to, because if they find out she knows the information, one, that could get them one or the other or both killed, and two, then it gets her involved in stuff that she didn't need to be involved in to begin with. Him seeing the Venen out on patrol and stuff, I think I can see why he kept that type of thing from her, because that would just freak her out. And I think she needed to really focus on getting the wards up at Horatia. And I don't think she would have been able to focus and concentrate on that enough if she knew how close the danger really was. But I'm sure, I know I remember thinking there were certain things where I was like, this is dumb. Like, he should have just told her about that sort of thing. I think about him, how often he went to visit Takaris. I think maybe she could have known a little bit more about that, because, I mean, he had a room there and Kat was there. And not even necessarily to know about Kat, but just like to know that that's where he's been going so much and why. I think maybe she could have been in on that a little bit.
If Zayden's able to keep Second Signet a secret, which should have been a known fact because of his lineage with his dragons, who else is lying about not having a signet?
Well, and I guess Zayden was able to play it off. They thought it was like a great uncle and not his grandfather that Sigail had bonded to before. And I'm like, how do they not know?
They have the notes. So that's,
if it was his direct grandfather, how do they not know?
They wrote it down. As soon as she got off that threshing field, they're like, okay, tell me the dragon's name and all this stuff. They have everything written down. So how do they not have the lineage?
They brushed over. He just said like something like, oh, well, they just think it's a great uncle and not a grandfather, and I never corrected them. Duh, who's going to correct them?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess he wouldn't have anything to show for if he wanted to pretend his signet was something else. Because it's like, they wouldn't know he's an intrinsic or whatever.
He could have gone for that time one. He knew what time of day it was.
He could have tried.
He could have tried.
He could have been like, guys, it might rain tomorrow. Just so you know. He's like, hey, General Sorengo, can it rain tomorrow? oh my gosh.
So we talked about this in the last book, where the very first page, you know, the following text has been faithfully transcribed, blah, 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 by Genesia, you know, word, blah, 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 blah. May their souls be commend to Malik. Before, I thought it was, you know, were these people just a footnote in history and they're eventually going to die? I think now, knowing what we know, that this, that passage there was not true. like everything else in that freaking library. I think it's going to come into play later in some way.
So I now interpret this. That goes directly hand in hand with the little quotes at the top of each chapter. And some of them say, recovered correspondence of Lieutenant Zaden Ryerson to Cadet Violet Soaringale. That makes me think, I mean, jumping to a prediction, like a long-term prediction, mm-hmm. I think book five is going to end where, like, literally everyone dies except for, like, a few people like Jacinia, maybe Sawyer or something like that. And maybe Jacinia and Sawyer are the ones who repopulate their continent or something like that after this huge battle. I mean, I'm guessing it's going to be against the Wyvern and the Venon and everything like that, because that is obviously the only people, or not even people, the only enemy we know of, mm-hmm. aside from themselves, all die. And Jacinia is then recounting the entire thing, translating it, and is including little bits of the correspondence that she finds, or like the Book of Brennan and that sort of thing. I don't know if it makes a difference or not, because it says Lieutenant Zaden Ryerson and Cadet Violet Soaringale. So I don't know if it's like they were going based on their titles at the time of writing it, mm-hmm. or at the titles that those were the only titles they had. True. Because obviously right now we only know them as cadets and lieutenants, but I don't know if they would get promoted later in the series. And I guess that'd kind of be a spoiler if she was like two new General Soaringale or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that everything has a purpose, and that that has a little bit more of a meaning behind it than just being the front of the book. So,
oh, for sure.
I can't wait to see how it kind of plays out. Okay, so who would you say in this one is your favorite relationship?
I would have to say that my favorite relationship would be Lilith Soaringale and her children.
Ooh.
She made the, obviously, like, the ultimate sacrifice in the end for her country, and to also, in that moment, I think she was really only thinking of Violet mm-hmm. and Brennan, because they were both burning out. She knew what she was doing. She said all the right last things she could say to Violet to really let her know, like, what she felt about her daughter, and that mm-hmm. she did obviously love her, and that she believed in her, and just everything wasn't for nothing, and she did great. I think it really offered some closure for at least Brennan and Violet. It does kind of suck Mira wasn't able to be there. The relationship Mira had with her mom was just different, and I don't know if it really would have mattered, and I think Mira would have probably gotten in the way of her mom doing what she did to save the continent and the ward and get the wards up. So no one else really had much going on. Honorable mention, Jacinia and Sawyer, because that was really cute, and he was learning sign language, and it was just really cute. So I have hope for them.
My favorite relationship is Sawyer and Jacinia. Okay. Good thing they're repopulating the population. Yeah. I loved the scene when he ran over to her to talk to her, and Violet's like, he only knows like five words. And then he did them and then ran to her. It was so cute.
It was really cute.
It was really cute. I didn't know that signing wasn't a common thing, because it did give the sense that it was a common name or a common thing, especially for the scribes, because there's Effie, who didn't know sign language, and she was a scribe, or at least she talked, which was different than any of the other scribes. Yeah, I just, Sawyer and Jacinia. That was the only reason why I was nervous at the end about Sawyer, because I was like, oh my god, but him and Jacinia, we can't.
Right, I know.
But he's fine. He's just missing it, like, he'll be fine.
Yeah, and the way they said that, like, she sprinted to the infirmary.
Yeah. I really hope we get more of that in the next one.
I know. I would love a little more Jacinia content.
Yeah. She did get a lot more screen time than I expected in this one, though.
Oh, she got a decent amount, but she still wasn't a star.
Oh, no.
She should be a star.
But she should be Miss Violet Soaringale.
Could you imagine? Jacinia
Millward. So I really want to talk about the runes real quick.
Okay.
It was very, to me at least, felt very
made up.
Well, not made up, because runes are very popular in a lot of other, like, sources of media, but they just felt very convenient and, like, way too overpowered. It was, like, just like, oh, you know, I put a rune on your dagger so I can do whatever I want. It was very, it just feels very out of left field for the story. I don't know if you felt the same way, but I don't know, I didn't like it. I didn't like the runes.
I thought it was interesting that at the end, it was just thrown in that Jack had made a bunch of them and put them all around to lead the Venan to them. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of random. The runes would make sense if they were talking about controlling your power, because that was one thing they had to figure out, was how to control their power in their hands enough to weave these little tiny threads of magic into the certain shapes, and then like you were doing a bunch of different shapes and then you had to compress them and then it made a specific rune that did a specific thing. I guess I can see how that's popular with the flyers because they don't have the same sort of powers that the riders do, mm-hmm. Which is maybe why the riders really weren't familiar with it. But it just seemed like if they had magic, because they use lesser magic or whatever. Right. So if they had that, it seems like that's really comparable to a rune. Mm-hmm. But they're, I think, just something kind of like a means to an end, that they needed more power for something else later in the story. And so they were kind of put in there.
Yeah. I wish the runes were mentioned in the first book a little bit more, so they weren't so just thrown at us in this one. I know she mentions them every once in a while, but there's not a huge emphasis on them. I didn't realize that it was so empowered and so important in the story until they were like, yeah, so we're going to learn about runes in class today. And I'm like, okay. I hope they play into it a little bit more in the next book and kind of go in a little bit more explaining.
Yeah.
I think me and you are going to have different opinions about the end of the book. what were your thoughts about it? We know we have the end of the book, we have the big fight, we have the Wyvern and the Venom coming in. We have the Wardstones, we have Miss Soaringale making her sacrifice, obviously Zayden turning Venom. Like, what are your overall thoughts of it?
I was just kind of like, that's it?
Yeah.
I know, it was so underwhelming. The first book definitely left more of a cliffhanger, I would say, because we found out Brennan was alive, and he's talking about the revolution, and there was a lot, you know, we're getting a taste of like the Wyvern and Venan and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And I feel like that left a lot more to be desired than this book. This book felt like it ended and it's like, yeah, Zayden ended as a Venan. Violet's mom sacrificed herself for the wards. They won the battle, but like there's more to be done. Mm-hmm. I don't think we were left enough crumbs to know what we're supposed to be expecting and looking for in this next book, which that's kind of what made Fourth Wing's ending more of a cliffhanger and us anxious for this Iron Flame, because we were then waiting to find out all this information, but I don't feel like we were really left with anything that we're uncertain about, aside from what does being a Venan mean for Zayden.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I can wait. I don't know. I'm not feeling super anxious about it or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of like, well, I guess we'll find out. There weren't any situations anybody was put into. Like, we literally left the book off with him going to talk to Jack to find a cure, and Violet was sleeping. Yeah. Most of that Zayden POV chapter was a dream, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I guess, yeah. Is that supposed to offer insight onto why he was Venan? Was because he did it to save Violet because he loved her? Is that supposed to be our answer? And if so, then it's like, okay, well, I don't really need to hear much about it because that's our answer. And allegedly there's no cure. So obviously I think Zayden's going to try and find something mm-hmm. and figure it out. If there's nothing, then he'll try and invent something or maybe work with Brennan. I don't know. It was just kind of like it ended, but I wasn't left on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
I really hope that this next book is a little more exciting, mm-hmm. but I'm like, I don't know, where do we go from here? Because the wards are back up, they're back at the college, they know how, I don't know, are they gonna run out of dragons who can start up the wardstone if it goes out again? Because they only have Andarna for that one, so I guess it's like if the wards fail, they're SOL, so maybe that's gonna be a plot point.
So here's the thing, it's like, before I finished Iron Flame, everybody was like, oh, the ending's crazy. It's such a crazy ending. And I'm like, okay, that's the only reason why it pushed me to the end.
Yeah.
And halfway through the book, I'm like, I'm just going to look at the ending because I'm getting so tired of reading this book. But it's like, I don't know. When I was reading the end, the only thing I could think of is like, I don't care. I don't care.
I know.
The only person I cared about was Riddick. I didn't care that her mother made her sacrifice. I honestly thought it was very much like romanticizing the dead. where she was a bad mother the entire time.
Right.
Because she made one sacrifice doesn't make all those things go away. And, like, yeah, she's just like, or I've been looking out for you all this time, and I wanted to make sure you were safe and all this stuff. But it's like, we don't see any of that. So the only image I have is what Violet shows us. Didn't like General Soaringale, so I wasn't upset in any way that he made her sacrifice.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like I was upset or crying like I did with Liam, because that was really shocking. At first, when Sloane and General Soaringale were arguing about, do it, no, I can't do it, blah, blah, I thought she was trying to make Sloane, like, burn out herself on there, and I was like, for what? Then it obviously was more clear.
Yeah, everything just felt very convenient, and I was just mostly confused. And then our Aunt Darna coming in, which is another thing we predicted, was that she was going to be purple, and she is. But yeah, that's actually something we're going to talk about in the theory section in a second. That was the only thing I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, but I was still kind of confused. So I think I just need to, like, reread it again to pick up everything that I missed, so...
Don't know that I want to read it again. I would read Fourth Wing again. I don't know if I'd read this again.
Yeah. I'll probably reread it again when the third one comes out, so I can, like, see if it's as bad as I remember it being. You want to play a little game?
Sure.
All right. So, the game I have for you today is I have a list of characters, and you are going to tell me what signet they have.
Oh, okay.
All right. Quinn.
Who the heck is Quinn?
She is Imogen's, I think, girlfriend.
Okay.
Or at least friend.
Is she the counter?
Nope. She projects. So she can change her. Oh, that's my next
guess.
Yeah, she can change her hair color and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Melgren.
He can see the battle outcomes as long as there are not three marked ones there.
Yes. Mira.
I guess, well, is she able to? No, she's a shield.
Well,
no.
Kind of. She can extend the wards.
You know what she is?
What?
She basically has the same power that Bella Swan has.
Girl, don't even get me talking about Twilight. Don't even do it. I know, right?
I had to mention.
Bodhi.
Okay, well then, does he counter signets?
Yep.
Okay.
Which is a really cool
one. Yeah.
Being like, nope. You don't get to flash lightning today, Violet.
Yeah, just like, your shadow's suddenly gone. You're Violet. In the light. She has lightning.
I spoiled it!
You just said, you didn't specify who.
General Soaringale.
She controls the storms.
Mm-hmm. Varish.
He sees weaknesses. I so desperately want to know what he saw for Violet and for Zayden, because he didn't say them, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But I really want to know what he saw theirs was. I guess he mentioned that Violet's was her loved ones, or, like, people she loves.
Yeah.
And he didn't say what Zayden's was, but I'm guessing it's Violet, because he was like, you would be shocked to know what I just saw, blah, 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 or something.
He isn't Violet, then.
Maybe it's Cat.
It's Bodhi.
I was just going
to say. Sloane.
She's a siphon.
Mm-hmm. Brennan.
He is a mender. Thank goodness.
Yeah. That was the only option. Dane.
He steals memories.
Mm-hmm. Zayden.
He is the shadows and the intentions.
Ooh.
Double signet.
Look at that. I love that we really didn't even talk about that.
But, I know. We just mentioned it briefly.
That's the thing. It's like, I feel like it's just, like, a little too much. Like, why do they need two? Why do they need two? And they got runes. Okay. And dragons. It's too much to keep up with.
And lesser magic.
And lesser magic. Like, chill.
And now he's a Venus, so he's hungry for power.
That's him chewing on the power.
Like a squirrel on a power line.
So what are some things that you would have done differently, would have changed if you were writing this book? This is just purely our own opinions.
You can go first, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I got some stuff. I obviously said POVs is my biggest one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I will say that about any book. I think it would have been really good for this book. I honestly don't have a lot. Definitely more dragons. Less Violet, more dragons. I would have liked to see a little bit more Sloane, because I feel like she was so important, but yet we don't really see a lot of her. My biggest one, though, is the working on the relationship, and I put relationship in capital letters, it just stop with the back and forth. Pick either the war to share or the relationship. Don't do both. If you want to do the first half of the relationship and the last half war, fine. That's very stereotypical. It's very normal. But don't do both the entire time. Because then it just gets overwhelming and the reader is just like, well, I'm going to not care about one of them. And usually it's going to be the war. And I feel like the war is so important. And yet I really don't even know what's going on half the time. Just pick one or the other. Dissect it in a way where it counters each other's without toppling each other over. And then again, back and forth with the trust thing was really bothering me.
Yeah. I would agree that the back and forth about the trust and the Violet and the Zayden and like the questions and that, how all they went about all of that. Childish, we've talked about it. I think like there were bigger things that they kind of glazed over, and because they were running out of time and room in the book for things. So, like, I would have loved to have talked a little bit more about Zayden's second signet, because he is able to read people's intentions. So not, like, their memories or their thoughts or anything like that. But I think it's still interesting in how I want to know more about how it works. Because Violet keeps telling him, don't ever use that on me again or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know, is that how it works? Can he control it? I think it would be interesting to learn more about it. Well, we don't know about a second signet for her, but I think it's inevitable that she will eventually get one once Andarna's old enough. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll hear about it in the next book, maybe, but I thought it was a missed opportunity to not see the conversation where Andarna tells Taryn what she really is. Mm-hmm. Throwing in a seventh dragon den is pretty crazy. And my question is, she said that she waited to hatch. Are there, I guess there's other eggs that are just waiting for the right time to hatch. So, like, are there more of her kind? Because I'm like, how is she going to, like, continue her den if there's not another one of her kind?
Yeah.
And so then, are we going to get a book? So we had adolescent Andarna. So are we going to eventually get, like, a pregnant Andarna or something? Is that, I know dragons lay eggs. I don't know how dragon eggs work.
Yeah, they just but like a bird.
Yeah. We're gonna get like mommy and Darna, or and then there's a whole other set of like things, because then Violet already has to block out Taryn and Sigale, and I think that is where we can kind of come back to the roots of the first book with like the comedic relief in the dragons being kind of funny and a little more relatable. Not that dragons are the most relatable, but like as characters, you kind of are trying to relate to different things and giving them those characteristics that humans would have, where like they have their mating season and all like that.
Yeah.
Also, thinking about it, why did Sigale and Taryn never have children? Is it because they're a different kind? But they're mated, so like it's obviously allowed. So why didn't they never lay eggs? Or maybe they did?
Yeah, I mean, doesn't he go like, I'm not as old as you think I am?
Yeah. In that book, he's not even considered an elder. He's still like, I guess, like a 30s or 40s type of...
They're just not ready to settle down yet.
They're just not... I mean, is she younger than he is? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And
she's a strong, independent woman that don't need no kids.
I guess. I mean, yeah. And like, obviously, that's totally fine. I think it's interesting where he says, oh, I'm not as old as you think I am. But then later, he's like... Violet, if you die, I'm dying too. Like, I'm not doing this again. Because he's like, you're my last rider.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. And I also think that's why Taryn could die in... Is this getting into the predictions? I don't know.
Yeah, but let's like, hop into the predictions.
So,
yeah.
Prediction. So, I think Andarna in that whole situation is also why I think Taryn could die. And Violet would be okay as far as not dying. Because she would have Andarna. She has kind of a... rebound backup dinosaur, what? Oh my gosh, dragon, goodness. Like, she has a backup dragon, essentially. And so I think that's why, like, she could probably survive a little bit longer after Taryn, depending on, like, the war that they're in at the time or whatever. But I just think that's possible. So I feel like we should, if we're trying to keep anybody alive, I would worry about keeping Zayden alive. But I know if Taryn dies, that affects... Sigale, which affects Zayden, which then would affect Violet too. So like maybe Violet would end up being like the last one standing because she didn't die from her wounds and she didn't die from her dragon. She's kind of, I could see that where she is kind of like stuck as like the last one standing. She's like, well, shit, now what? Like,
yeah.
Maybe she jumps off the parapet.
Finally. the bond between them. It's like, how much of that is real? How much of it is
yeah, I know. Truth? We talked about this before. No one's ever really tested it, mm-hmm. where the mated dragons were separated for too long because Zayden either came back or Violet went there, and they, like, until Varys arrived, they were, like, seeing each other all the time.
Yeah.
And we never really tested the limits.
And at the point, Taryn's always like, do you have the weapons? Do we have the weapons? How much of that was, like, Zayden wanted to see Violet more than just, we want the weapons?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, were they saying this because they actually can't be apart? Or were they saying it because they needed the supplies?
Right.
So we don't know if the bond is really real.
And when Zayden was allegedly dying, obviously he didn't, and he turned or whatever. Violet was dealing with her own shit. Like, she was burning out.
Mm-hmm.
Her being close to death wasn't because of him. It was because of her own self. And him being close to death wasn't because of her. It was what he was doing. He was burning himself out, too. I don't know. If one of them died, I don't know if that would be the case. And it sounds like dragons choose whether or not they die with their rider or not. Because Violet was saying something like, choose to live. And he said, you're my last rider. If you die, I'm dying with you. So it sounds like he had the option, like he has an option where he wouldn't have to die with his rider.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I think maybe they're really playing that part up, but it might come back around and it's like, oh, that wasn't as serious as we thought it was.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just wish we knew more about the dragons.
I know. I would love to have more of that. But like, I guess dragons don't answer to humans, and so when Violet asks questions, they don't really get answered.
Yeah. I have another prediction for the purple dragons.
Okay.
I think, obviously, we're going to get more information about them. I think they're going to be different. They're going to be special. I think that there are purple dragons around. So in the end, you saw that Andarna had almost camouflaged into the mountainside.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that there are purple dragons. They're just hiding. And that
maybe
camouflaged into the world. Where did she come from? She came from an egg from somewhere. Well, she was waiting for a while, but I think somewhere, somehow, there are still purple dragons around, and they just don't want to come out yet. They're like, you guys are crazy. I don't want all humans.
It sounded like to me when she was talking about it that she was essentially protected and rescued as an egg. She was aware of everything happening, but when the first six during that battle,
mm-hmm.
and they protected her then to like preserve her kind because they knew that they needed it for the ward stones,
mm-hmm.
which I think it's crazy that being in the egg, she's fully aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, it's a little fuzzy because it was so many centuries ago. For her to be fully aware of what's going on and what people are talking about and, like, to know of Violet's existence, to know that, like, okay, I want to hatch now because in a few years, I want to be able to bond her. So I could see, like, maybe if they were out camouflaged in the world, Andarna definitely has, like, some chameleon vibes. Because there were a few times where she was, like, Violet said that Andarna blended into the darkness. She had no idea she was there.
Mm-hmm.
Or I thought that was a boulder, but it was her. Maybe Violet will be a shifter of some sort.
Yeah. Or, like, invisibility of some sort.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? That'd be pretty cool. I predict that the next book is going to be better. We'll be a little more satisfied with it. I think we'll probably see more from Dane and her other friends, because I don't think Zayden is going to be as prominent now that he's dealing with his own problems.
Yeah.
But I think it would be interesting to see being Venen from Zayden's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But he might use it to try and, like, better understand how to fight them, because obviously he still wants to defeat them even though he is one. But I'm like, does this not change their mind? Or it just seems weird that he's Venen, but it doesn't make a difference, like, because Jack Barlow is so crazed for power and, like, all of the sages and everything like that. So I'm just like, is he going to eventually be more Venen, I guess is the way to word it? Like, is he gonna gradually get worse? And, like, how do you turn somebody? So, like, was Violet being turned when she was stabbed and then they saved her? Like, would she have turned Venen then? Is Violet, did they not get it all? Is she Venen? I don't know. I think we would know, but I guess that's not really a prediction, but I just have so many thoughts, I guess.
I'm interested to see how Sigale is going to react to Zayden.
Yeah. He mentioned that their bond was pretty quiet.
Yeah. So is she going to sever that bond? Is she going to...
Oh my gosh, what if he gets ousted?
Yeah. I want to see what happens, though. Because then is Taryn going to have to choose between Violet and Sigale? Like, what is... Where's the limit? Is Zayden going to be... stuck just walking everywhere?
Could you imagine?
I think so Violet's father's research is going to come back into play. Mm-hmm. She really talked about it in the first one, didn't talk about it a ton in this one. I don't know. I feel like we're going to learn that Zayden has a siblings in some way, because he kept mentioning that he wanted siblings. So I don't know. I just have this suspicious feeling.
And his mom was just up and left, never to be seen again.
So I feel like his mom's going to come and play, and she's going to bring some half-siblings for him. Violet's hair, I think it's suspicious that we didn't talk about it at all, but it was all we talked about in the first book. So I don't know if she was just overcompensating it, or if it's really an important feature about it.
In, I think it was in Zayden's POV, he talked about her silver hair and... Yeah, I watch her long enough to calm my racing heart, my gaze skimming over every part of her I can see, from the silvery lines of her hard-won scars to the silvery half of her hair on the pillow. One of the missed opportunities I thought of was, okay, so I actually managed all these months to not see a single spoiler for this book. I saw no TikToks, anything. And the only thing I saw was someone was, like, there was a viral moment for a minute there where they were talking about the my throne, my house, my woman. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would have been done so much better if it was a case where, like, during one of those assembly meetings where they're, like, talking about Violet and whatever, and then he just was declaring her in front of a bunch of people, not just between them in that one scene. I thought it was going to be a much more powerful moment, and it wasn't that great. Yeah. I was like, oh, this wasn't as cool as I thought it was going to be, or, like, as exciting or whatever.
Yeah, it was kind of possessive. Obviously, I think the whole thing now we're leaning towards finding a cure for Zayden, learning how to control that venom power. I feel like Nolan, Brennan's friend, who died and he tried to mend him back, Taryn's original writer, I think he's going to come back. We're going to see that maybe Taryn had severed his bond with Nolan because he was a Benin. I feel like Nolan is going to come back as a Benin, and that he is the general. Like, Nolan is the general. I think that would be a very big plot twist that we find out, like, maybe even not into the fourth book. I don't know. I just feel like they keep bringing him up, and he has to be important in some way. And, you know, we already have one character that we thought was dead, Jag, who turned out to not be dead. So I think the same thing is going to happen here. Because, again, we don't know the extent of the Venom power. Could they bring someone back?
He died trying to use resurrection to save Brennan. He was a siphon. Mm-hmm. So I could see him wanting more power. Or maybe it was Venom came to him and was like, we can get you more power. And he's like, I need more power. And so, yeah, maybe he is. This is, like, maybe crazy. But, like, when they were talking about that really beautiful Venom, maybe that's Zayden's mom.
True.
Because everyone always talks about how beautiful Bodhi and Zayden are. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, one of those obvious things. And so if that's kind of what trait... So maybe the Venin are people that either left or thought were dead or whatever. And so now, like, leader of the Venin was someone that was ousted from Bazgaiath. Mm-hmm. And then was like, I'm going to start my own whatever. So then they're, like, taking all these people that were done dirty by the college and are turning them. Maybe that's where they're all coming from. So maybe they're people that they knew.
Yeah, there's no telling. My last two predictions, Eric obviously getting more screen times. I'm thinking maybe a distant wielder or maybe a storm wielder. I want to know more about the royal family.
Yeah.
Like, we really glazed over that.
Mm-hmm.
He just can't be a one and done. Like, he has to come back and have more delivery for to sure. it. Overall, Spectrum, it's giving, like, the sense of How to Train Your Dragon 3 ended, where they had to, like, get rid of all the dragons. And I think there's going to be a point where they're going to have to either choose to keep themselves safe or keep the dragons safe. And they're going to pick the dragons and keep them safe. And then so there's going to be some kind of collide where humans and dragons don't interact anymore. I don't know. That's the vibe I'm getting. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that'll be until book five, but...
And then things went on to become the world as you know it sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Because it was translated from Navarian into the modern day language.
Unfortunately, it is time for us to go. But before we do, we are going to do one last thing. We are going to do our rating scale. However, we do it a little bit different here on the Bookstop. We make up our own thing. So I would give Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros to... many times saying I can't trust Zayden out of five. too many times saying I can't trust Zayden out of five. Listen, 2 out of 5, very shocking. Because I'm pretty sure I gave the last one like almost a 10 out of 10 or like 5 stars or something. This is a very severe drop, I would say. To say that I hated the book, I wouldn't say that. I didn't hate the book.
Definitely not.
But I there's so much things that could have been improved on, and I just don't see myself... It was a chore. It was a chore to read, and I'm really sad because I did love the first book so much. I don't know if it was because it was such a whimsical read, and you're learning about everything, and now this is more like, we gotta learn everything now. I am excited for the third book. I'll only reread this again for the read-up to the next book, but what about you?
I think I would give this 3 signets out of 5.
Heck yeah. Which ones, though? Which signets?
The good ones.
The time one?
Telling time. Oh my gosh. That based on all the reasons before regarding the plot and also like the actual writing and manufacturing of the book and just everything, I think there was a lot of room for improvement. There were a lot of things I liked. It did open the door. Honestly, I think I'm more excited for the next book now after going through everything with you and our predictions, mm-hmm. just to kind of see how things play out. But again, I'm still not like on the edge of my seat. I honestly felt relieved when I finished this book because I was like, okay, like it just felt like it was weighing on me that I hadn't finished it because I made so many of my other friends read this book now. And so they were like, have you finished it yet? Have you finished it yet? And I was like, no, yeah. I haven't. So, and I was like feeling guilty. And so now I finally have it done and I felt relief and I don't want to feel like that. So I have hope that the next ones are going to be better. I still like the series. I still stand by recommending it. It's just kind of one of those things. You know, no series of TV shows or music or books or whatever is perfect. There's always going to be that one where you're kind of like, didn't love that, but overall it'll be worth it in the end. And so I think that's what this is going to be. I enjoy actually really being here as things are coming out. Yeah. Whereas like a lot of other series and books and stuff, I end up finding them afterwards and after all the hype and everyone's talking about it, I'm like, oh, well, now I want to know. It's kind of fun being in on it as it happens.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the next ones, mm-hmm. but we'll see.
I absolutely agree with that point. This was the first time I ever went to a midnight release for a book. That was super, super fun to do. Highly recommend. If you're in love with, you know, a book, a movie, anything, go to the midnight release because you're around people that also love it. So mm-hmm. I also won the trivia game. I got a gift card, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, being able to enjoy the things right when it comes out, even though it took us months to read them.
And what's even crazier is that we got these books before they released. We didn't even talk about that. Jen found them at Walmart like a week before they released. And so we had them in our hand. We could have devoured this whole thing before the rest of America, and we didn't.
We could have gotten this podcast out before Iron Flame even came out.
I know.
But it took us months.
Yeah.
Halfway through March, we're finally doing it.
Oh my gosh.
Yay, we did it. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
I was glad to be here. Hopefully we can do the next one.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Obviously we don't have a time frame of when we will, but if it's not next year, we'll come back with another book. I'm only currently doing one episode a month now, so this will be it for Charlotte this year. But
yes, it was nice to see you guys while I could.
Heck yeah. She made the rank, so.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds good. Bye.
Thank you for turning the pages with us today. If you've enjoyed this episode, show your support by leaving a review, sharing the episode, and following the podcast on Instagram at @thebookstoppodcast. Join us on Patreon for early access to episodes and other additional content. Thank you for listening, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Hope you are too.